Alleluia. Christ is risen. At the high school where I worked before seminary, I sat on the admissions committee. And so every spring I read hundreds of applications from eighth graders and their parents who wanted to be part of the school. And one of the most interesting parts for me was reading the teacher recommendations. Everyone who applied to the school had to ask their teachers to fill out a form about their academic achievement and rank them from a low of 1 to a high of 5. And it was so common to see recommendation forms that looked like this. Motivation, 5. Maturity, 5. Creativity, 5. Integrity, 5. Willingness to take intellectual risks, 1. Leadership, 5. Initiative, 5. Respectfulness, 5. Overall achievement, 5. With student after student after student. So often it was the most talented kids who had the most trouble taking risks, who were afraid to raise their hands if they weren't sure they had the right answer, or who wouldn't use a new word if they were worried they might mispronounce it. When there are so many things you're used to being good at, the stakes start to feel pretty high. And it's enough to make you worry that there's no room to mess up. So I think about those forms and I wonder, if we were all evaluated on our spiritual achievement, what would that form look like? And by we, I mean those of us who showed up to church the Sunday after Easter. So the people under this roof. Nice work. Faithfulness, 5. Attendance at worship, 5. Generosity, 5. Willingness to take spiritual risks. What number do we give ourselves for that? And maybe that's not a challenge for you. Maybe you take spiritual risks all the time, but for a lot of us who are used to church being a thing we're good at, who show up and step in and know all the words to all the prayers, the stakes for spiritual risk-taking can feel high. And just like intellectual ones, spiritual risks are different for everybody. For some of us, the greatest risk of our lives was deciding to go to church. For some of us, it was deciding to go to an Episcopal church, asking a hard question in Sunday school, or getting married, or approaching God in prayer. All of these can be risky things. Sometimes the big risk is admitting doubt. Sometimes the big risk is admitting faith. And so today we tell the story of Thomas, the patron saint of spiritual risk. There are so many questions about Thomas that the Gospel of John leaves unanswered. Like, for starters, where was he when Jesus returned to the apostles? They were all in a locked house. How did he get out? And was it just his turn to run to the market that day, or was he in hiding all alone? So afraid of being punished if anyone found him as a follower of the crucified Christ. And I have to say, I'm on the side of Thomas here. Everyone else got to see the proof of resurrection, but not him. And so he's the one to say out loud what surely he is not the only one in history to think. He asks his friends, so like when you say we have seen the Lord, you mean in a metaphorical way, right? And the other disciples say, no, he's back, we saw him. And Thomas says, you mean like we're sad he's gone, but he's always here with us in spirit, right? And the disciples say, no, we saw him, He was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. And Thomas says, no offense, but I'll believe that when I see it. The Bible readings we use in church follow a 3-year cycle. So a lot of our favorite stories we hear only once every 3 years. But certain stories we make sure to tell every year at the same time because they are that central to our faith. And Doubting Thomas is one of those. Every year on the Sunday after Easter, this is the gospel reading that makes an appearance in church. Because no matter how you celebrate Easter with lilies and brunch and plastic eggs, nothing can take away the strangeness of the Easter story or the demands it makes on us as people of faith. Because other parts of Christian belief are easy to digest, that there's a loving God and that Jesus was born, that he was a good person who taught about forgiveness and showed us a better way to live. But on Easter, there's no getting around this question of the resurrection of the dead. And as Adrian reminded us so beautifully last Sunday, we can't disentangle the message of Christ from the resurrection of Christ. When he appears to the disciples after rising from the grave, it's a vindication of everything he taught before his death. But we weren't there in the locked house, and we don't get to feel Jesus breathe on us in the flesh. Instead, we're like Thomas, just not quite in the right place, not quite at the right time. And like Thomas, it's easy to want just a little more proof. Thomas reminds us that we can be faithful followers of Jesus and still have some questions about the parts of our faith that we don't understand. That doubt doesn't always come from disinterest, but instead is often the opposite. It's a sign of investment in faith, of thinking seriously about it and caring enough to believe it matters whether it's true. Thomas puts himself out there. He takes a spiritual risk. And the resurrected Jesus does the most amazing thing. He invites Thomas to touch the wounds in his body which haven't yet healed. It's such an intimate moment. I imagine the other disciples had to look away. He meets Thomas right where he is, knowing that where there is doubt, there is the desire to believe. And this is the gift of a God who lived a human life. Jesus knew what it was to wonder about the big questions and to hope that there was a way to avoid the hard parts, and even to ask out loud whether God had abandoned him. And so Jesus is well prepared to meet us right where we are, with all our worries and doubts, just as he did for Thomas. Lent is a season of discipline and austerity, and I think of it as a time of buckling down. But if that's true, then the Easter season is a time for opening up. So now is the time to remember Thomas and take a few spiritual risks. What question have you been waiting for permission to ask? What choice have you been afraid to make? What good news are you getting ready to proclaim? May we all be willing to take a few more risks, knowing that the God who loves us will always come through. Amen.